1 Corinthians 14, where I want you to notice with me again, verse 16 of this text, and especially I want you to notice what is a very familiar word, and most especially very familiar to those of us who have been at this church for any length of time. Verse 16 says, "Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say, Amen, at the giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest?" Now, the word I want us to consider very carefully tonight is a word that's found at least 73 times in the Word of God. In fact, it's found in the Old Testament Pentateuch, that is the law. It's found in the Psalms. It is found in the prophets. It's found in the Gospels and in the Epistles and, as you'll see in a few moments, often in the book of Revelation. And that word is the word here in verse 16 we just read, the word Amen. It is a word, by the way, that was spoken audibly. Think of this, in the same way that we say it. It was spoken audibly by Moses, by Jeremiah, by David, by the Apostle John, by Ezra, by Paul, by Peter, by Judas, and several times by the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, in one of the more remarkable texts in all of the Bible, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, you notice these words. It speaks of the fact that God is the Amen. A couple pages. Turn there, would you? 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. And notice what it says in verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. In other words, you know what? God takes this very familiar Old Testament Hebrew word, which is what it was, and he just fills it up with all of the weight and the power that words so quickly lose by saying to us that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God's Amen. You see, in the Old Testament, God promised this, and then God promised this, and then God promised that, and then he promised this, and when Jesus came, he was the Amen to all of those promises. And I'll tell you this tonight, beloved, this one little word, spoken obviously for thousands and thousands of years by every tribe, every kindred, every tongue, and every nation, this one familiar word speaks volumes to me. It ought to speak volumes to all of us about the things of God. In fact, to be fully accurate, there are actually two true universal words in the human language. So that if you were to travel tonight, for example, to just about any nation, country in the world where Christ has saved souls, wherever the gospel has ever taken root, and it's basically the entire world, you will find that whatever the language, regardless of the language, there are two ancient Hebrew words transliterated that you will understand. You will understand those two words when those people speak them. You may not understand their prayer. You may not understand a message or a sentence they say to you or the scriptures when they're read, if they're spoken in Japanese or Swahili or French or Russian or Arabic or whatever. You may not understand a single thing that's said. If you travel across the world in some other language, some other nation, when it's someone else is speaking, but you will recognize when they say these words, you will recognize when the person speaking says either Amen or Hallelujah, because they say it as Amen or Hallelujah. I want you to notice on the screen a great text in Revelation chapter 19. You'll notice what it says in verse 4. "And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. Amen, Hallelujah." I'm reminded tonight of what it says in Psalm 106. Psalm 106 and verse 48. You'll see that also, I believe, on your screen. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen." And then notice what it says, "Praise ye the Lord." That is the English translation of the Hebrew word Hallelujah right there. Amen, Hallelujah. Amen, praise ye the Lord. That's what the psalmist said, Amen, and then Hallelujah. And he admonished, as you'll notice in the text, all the people of God to say it. So that again, you may not understand anything that, for example, Brother Zam might say out in Burma if you were listening to him preaching, but you would understand him when he said Amen. When he said, Hallelujah. You may not understand a word that Hika says when she calls her mother in Japan. You may not understand what Brother John over here says in Arabic until or unless Brother John Hage says, Amen, or Amin, or Hallelujah. And the reason is that these words, written, spoken as transliterations, not just translations, of Old Testament Hebrew. Think of this for a moment. Now ponder this. These words were taken by the disciples, by the apostles, by the servants and missionaries of the Lord to Roman and Greek cities, which did not have these words in their language. They did not have the word either amen or hallelujah, as it were, in their own vocabulary. If you look up in a Greek lexicon right now, use your phone or whatever, look up the Greek word for hallelujah, and you will find it says hallelujah in Greek letters right there. So in other words, through the gospel itself, believers, as we're going to see here in Corinthians, these believers were already transforming various cultures by grafting into their very language these brand new words of faith. And of course, in some ways, these two amazing words provide sort of a little microcosm of what happens. What has happened here? What happens in Guatemala? What happens in Sri Lanka, wherever a missionary goes? A little microcosm, what happens spiritually. And in some ways, intellectually and culturally, whenever and wherever the gospel takes root in any society, any culture. Why? Because again, the words hallelujah and the word amen, they come from the Hebrew word hallelujah and amen. You get the point so far, right? If someone said, Moses, it's hot in the desert, in Hebrew, he would have said amen. Amen. He might have put a little amen on it. I don't know what they did. And if they said, you know, but it's going to be better when we get to Canaan, he would have said, in Hebrew, hallelujah. In fact, when Moses penned the very law of God, and he wrote that the congregation of God was to respond to that law, to all the written laws and truths, he said their response to what he just said to them was to say, amen. And while, yes, there are many examples of this, I want you to see one of them in the book of Deuteronomy. You'll see it on your screen. Verse 16, cursed be he that setteth light by his father and mother. That means that degrades them, if you will. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that ruineth his neighbor's landmark. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way. And all the people shall say, amen. There are many examples like that. God's people were to respond to the law of God and to the word of God by saying, amen. Because amen means true. The etymology of the word suggests by saying it simply means yes. Amen originally meant yes. I told Ansley the other night I was going to pay for her senior trip to go to Europe. And she went, yes. She might as well have said amen. Well, fast forward then, thousands of years after Moses, and listen to what Paul says. Look at our text again. To a congregation. Now ponder this for a moment. You have to think about what happened 2,000 years ago in a Greek city full of Romans and Greeks and slaves. What happens there? 1 Corinthians 14, again, verse 15. Paul says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. In other words, I'm not going to do any gibberish. I want people to know exactly what I'm saying. Of course he does. And then he says, if you don't do it with understanding, what? Verse 16, else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say, amen, at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? In other words, now follow this carefully. Paul is concerned about those Corinthians and their abuse of tongues, their abuse of having the knowledge of languages. And in a very sharp rebuke, he tells them to make sure that every prayer, that every sermon is understandable. Otherwise, he says, when will the rest of the people know? When will they understand when to say amen? If I were to say, are you glad you're saved today in some language you don't understand, you wouldn't know when or where, what to say at the end. Now, but think about this for a moment. Because reading this, you understand Paul is therefore making the assumption that in edification and in prayer, other people, besides the one who is standing there speaking, are going to say amen to what he says. And why? Why will they say amen? Why would they say hallelujah? Well, it's very simple. They agree. They affirm, not so much with the speaker as with God. so that at the end of some exhortation, in the middle of some edification, at the end of a certain prayer, if you will, Corinthians, Romans, Greeks, former pagans, they will all respond by saying yes, by saying true, so be it, or uh-huh, you got that right, or whatever you call it. Basically saying amen in the Hebrew. Now, they may have whispered it. They may have simply spoken it. Some may have said it very, very loudly. When I was in Bible college, there were guys who thought that the word amen, just amen, wasn't long enough, so they did amen over there in the amen section. Some of the girls in Bible college, the ones getting their MRS degree, whenever our men's chorus would sing, like 50 guys would get up and sing at the end, they would go, amen. In the Bible, however, as the word was used, it was a simple affirmation. It was a word of agreement. And you know, if you think about it again, all these cultures are using this word from Hebrew, and they're transliterating it. They're saying it really in the Hebrew language, and that's exactly what makes this word and hallelujah so wonderful. Again, within months of Paul arriving there, Greeks, Romans, former idolaters, they would agree verbally in their hearts and verbally about the things of God. Now, you look through this room, and you will see all kinds of folks. There are Bahamians, people from Canada and Lebanon and Mexico, Cuba and Jordan, Kentucky, all these other countries. There are people with money. There are people who have no money. There are people who have PhDs in this room, and there are people who did not graduate high school. And there are all different kinds of people. There are men, there are women, there are children. And yet, when it comes, think of this, when it comes to the deepest, greatest, most important realities and truths in all of the universe, we can all say hallelujah and amen in agreement on every single one of them. Every single true, eternal, great, important truth ever known, ever stated, all of us in this room agree 100%. All of us. Three ways I want us to consider. This is just sort of like a Sunday night church family discussion tonight. Three ways in which we agree, in which we can all say amen and hallelujah. The first one I want you to notice is, number one, affirming the word of God. In other words, that's with our heads we agree. Look at chapter 15 right across the page, would you? Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, to tell us die. How? According to the Scriptures. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day. How? According to the Scriptures. Now let me say this. When it comes to doctrine, when it comes to the basics, the fundamentals of the faith and the truths of God, all of us, when that doctrine, that truth, that fundamental faith is found in the Word of God and someone else in this room speaks it, or I speak it, or the person next to you speaks it, all of them can say hallelujah and amen. And let me tell you why that's a blessing tonight. Why it's a blessing just for me to be in this place with all of you. If I were to stand before a joint session of Congress, up there in Washington, D.C., and all our representatives are there, and all the senators are there, and most of the Supreme Court justices are there, and the president and the vice president are there, sort of there, and they're all representing the people of the United States from every state in the union, right? All over. And suppose I were able to speak to them, and I were to stand up behind that famous dais there, and I were to say, members of Congress, Joint Chiefs of Staff, I have something to say. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the only Savior of the world. Let me ask you something. There's an amen. Amen, brother. I note our representative from the state of Florida. Amen. But if I were to say that there, would every member in Congress say hallelujah, amen? Suppose I stood before the United Nations, and now you've got all the representatives from all over the world, and I stood before the United Nations and I said, the Bible, the Word of God, is the inerrant and inspired and infallible word of the living God. And then I said, can I get an amen? Shouldn't be hard. They all know the word amen. It's all the same in their every language. Can I get an amen? What do you think I would hear? Crickets. from something we all know, we all believe. So that at its very best, the deliberative bodies of this world have 100% agreement in nothing. And when it comes to the most important things in the universe and in eternity, 100% agreement. And yet, no matter where we go in the world, this is a marvel. This is a miracle. No matter where a Christian goes, no matter what the culture is, the nation or the language, if there is a born-again child of God in their midst, whatever their language, if I were to say, this is the Word of God, the inspired and errant Word of God, they would say, amen. They will say, hallelujah. They will agree 100% with, again, the most important things in eternity. Is Jesus the Son of God? Christians in China? Amen. Is the Bible the Word of God? All of those in Brazil that believe the Bible? Amen and hallelujah. Is salvation by grace through faith? Amen in Kenya. That's what they would say. You see, one reason why I love to come to church and why I know that God in His great wisdom instituted the local New Testament church is that here, whenever it comes to what matters, when it comes to absolute truth, there's no poll. There's no popular vote. There's no debate among skeptics. There's no point counterpoint, because there doesn't have to be. There's no half of our people or 10% of our people going out in the parking lot and protesting, having a little sign saying, down with Pastor Blaylock. Not over the Bible, at least. They wouldn't be out there saying, well, we don't agree with the deity of Christ. We don't agree with the new birth or the resurrection. No, no, no. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And God's people say, amen and hallelujah. Yes. Psalm 106:48. Blessed be the Lord God from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say amen, hallelujah. Now, wait a minute. Some of the people say amen to that. Most of the people of God say amen to that. Half of the people, 99% of the people, oh no. The truth here in that psalm is that our God is from everlasting to everlasting, and it is the truth. And so let all the people of God say amen to the truth. I'll say it again. The words hallelujah and amen are a reminder that God's people agree with their heads. They affirm the Word of God. We all love, and we all believe this book. And we are all here because we love and believe this book. Secondly, I want you to notice, number two, God's people also say hallelujah and amen because they agree, number two, in the worship of God. That is, with their hearts, not just their heads. Here in 1 Corinthians 14 again, look at it. Notice verse 12. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying, to the building up, the blessing of the church. There's a wonderful text in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And I want you to notice where King David has just returned the Ark of the Covenant to God's people. It says in verse 34, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us. That's Hosanna, another great word. Save us, O God, of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, amen, and praised the Lord. Now, do you know what that is, beloved? That is simply the people of God agreeing with one heart that God is good. And because he is good, he is worthy to be praised. They were joining their hearts in worship. And that's exactly what you and I ought to do every time we gather together. You know, when I was 14 years of age, I earned a mission trip to Mexico, Monterrey. And it was so memorable in so many, many ways. I have pictures of it. There's a few pictures left from it, including, you know, don't drink the water. And I did not obey. And I paid the price. A lot of strange new foods for me at 14 years of age. A bus that nearly went over the side of a cliff and we all died. But I think what I remember the most from that trip was singing with the rest of my teenage friends to a little small Spanish-speaking mission in some remote village. And we were singing Jesus Love Me, first in English. Now later we did, Hey Cristo mi ama, Hey Cristo mi ama, Hey Cristo mi ama, La Biblia dice así. Okay, I still remember, it's from 14 years of age. But at first we sang it in English, and it was interesting because you could see that the young people and the parents and all, they didn't quite get the lyrics, but they got enough of what they knew, the tune, they knew the song, they got enough of what we're saying. There were tears in their eyes. And while we were singing, they were nodding their heads and saying, Amen, 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 and Hallelujah. And beloved, it was at that moment in my brand new faith that I first realized that Christians are truly brothers and sisters in Christ. We are one in the Lord Jesus. You know, I didn't have much of anything in common with those really poor mountain country Mexican believers in that village, except anything that mattered, everything that mattered. We all had this common bond of Christ, and that bond knit our hearts together like nothing else could. You know, the Summer Olympics are coming to Paris in, I guess, 6 weeks or so. And I got to tell you, as with all Olympic games, the opening ceremonies and the closing ceremonies, they're hard to watch. They're gross. I am always struck with this futile, empty, vain attempt by every Olympic committee that's ever been to bring all the nations of the world together in unity. This Olympics, they will spend $10 billion for 14 days, almost $1 billion a day. $10 billion on buildings and venues and ceremonies, all in an attempt to show unity and peace and oneness with all of the nations of the world. And yet, after all the years of preparation, and it's years, it's about 10 years, all the years of preparation and all the money and the poetry and the wishful thinking and all of the songs and the celebrations and the shows, after doing everything humanly possible to simply unite people for some games, no less, it is always painfully obvious that behind the veneer of harmony, beyond the facade of unity with this, you know, this weird Olympic mascot. Have you seen that creepy thing already? Why are they always so creepy? I don't know. But behind all of that, you will always have some Russian judges cheating here, some athletes doping over here, some country withdrawing out of protest, this country's disqualified for its racism. There's controversial gestures by athletes and boycotts and threats of terrorism and men trying to compete in women's sports, and it goes on and on and on. So that, you know, in spite of all of the manipulation and all of, and in America especially, the network TV production, there's no real unity. There's definitely no lasting harmony. Because how can there be? How can there be when one country wants to see the other country they're competing against or with destroyed or driven into the sea? Over in the book of Revelation, we have quite a contrast when it comes to nations. In chapter 20, you'll notice on the screen, it says in verse 7, And when the 1,000 years were expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and he shall go out to deceive the nations. Well, I don't want to be a part of those Olympics, do you? Talk about a creepy mascot. But how about this one? Chapter 21 on your screen, you'll notice verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in light of it. There's an Olympic torch that will never go out. And then the last two verses of the Bible, you'll see them on the screen. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. The last word in the Bible, amen. Pastor does this affirming the word of God and agreeing in worship of God. I thought Christians can't even agree on the color of the carpet. That's true. But we don't worship the carpet. I mean, some Baptists do, but we don't worship the carpet here. And the ones who do worship the carpet, they listen to that creepy mascot. And this is the spiritual reproof tonight. This is the admonition tonight. We say amen and we say hallelujah because we worship the same God. We, you and I, We love the very same Lord Jesus Christ. So folks, anytime you find yourself bickering and arguing and gossiping and sniping against a fellow believer over some temporal little thing, remember where that spirit actually comes from. Remember that the Bible admonishes all of us, and these two words remind us that we have one mind and one heart, one Lord, one Savior, one baptism, so that if a spirit comes to you and divides you over something that's not important, that's trivial, where does that spirit come from? Even John, the aged John, was tempted to worship. In chapter 19 and verse 10, it says, "And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and thy brethren. I have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Even John was tempted to fall down and worship the wrong thing. And if you're not sure who God is, then that the angel is referring to, and it's the name Jesus in verse 10. If you're still not sure, it says in verse 3, his name shall be called the Word of God. If you're still not sure, verse 16, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the God. He's the God of the universe. And God's people said here, amen and hallelujah. We worship in one. We affirm the Word of God. We affirm the Word of God, the worship of God. And then number 3. We accept the will of God, and that's our hands, our head, our hearts, and our hands. What did the angel say in verse 10 again? I am thy fellow servant. You know, folks, we as believers, we're here tonight, and we are called a lot of things in the Scriptures, overcomers, soldiers, believers. But one of the greatest titles that we have together is servants of God. And we all serve the same God. Now look, our gifts may differ. That's what a lot of this in Corinth was about. Our gifts do differ. Our ministries may differ. Our labors may differ. Our callings, our strengths, our weaknesses. But whatever the labors, it's all still for Him. When someone sings a special up here, I don't sit down there and pick it apart and wonder this and wonder that. When they sing a special, I think of the lyrics and the words. And you know what I say in my heart and sometimes with my lips? Amen. I say hallelujah. Because you know what? It's for Him. If you're a nursery worker, usher, greeter, Sunday school teacher, children's church worker, whatever you're doing for the Lord, I say amen and hallelujah with you. Because all of us serve the same God for the same reasons, with the same motive, under the exact same mandate. Hands and hearts, all for the glory of God alone. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a moment, shall we? I said at the beginning of the message that this is a little bit of a church family talk. And it is. Because, you know, if there's anything that I've been grateful for 37 years here at Beacon Baptist Church, it is what I would consider, honestly, what I would consider an unusual unity, a blessed unity of God in this place. But I also know that Satan hates it and has tried and continues to try and will continue to try to break it, to attack it, to destroy it. But if you read the Bible and you read the epistles and you look at this one wonderful word from Old Testament to New Testament all the way to eternity, in eternity, we all say amen. We all say praise the Lord, not praise the pastor. It's hallelujah, praise Yahweh, Jehovah. We all say it because we all serve the same God. We all believe the same book. We all worship and love the same Lord Jesus Christ. So that if there's ever a spirit that comes to you and pulls you away and says, look, let's not be together on this. Let's not say amen or hallelujah on this. Let's divide on this thing. Recognize that unless it's a fundamental of the faith, that spirit is not of God. And you fight it. You fight it and you stand guard over it. And you make sure that you're part of those. I mentioned to the young people this morning, they're going off to camp, and I said, young people, if I were the devil, I would tell you three things. Don't love, don't listen, and don't laugh. And I told him, I said, if there's two people not getting along, don't join one side. Be the repairer of the breach. That's what God loves. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the oil that came down on Aaron's head, even upon his beard. The oil of the Holy Spirit loves when God's people say amen and hallelujah about all the things that matter. And the things that don't matter, they don't divide over. Pastor Blaylock, I'm here tonight. And I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. And maybe you're a member here at this church, or you attend faithfully this church. Pastor, I'm a Christian, but I needed this reminder. And by the way, it wouldn't hurt. And I'm not one of these preachers that, you know, tries to get people during church say, you know, amen, come on, can I hear you? I'm not one of those. It wouldn't hurt for many of you to say amen and hallelujah a little bit. Say it. Say it in your heart. Sometimes say it with your lips. Affirm the word of God. Affirm the worship of God. Affirm the work of God. Pastor, I'm here tonight and I'm saved, but I needed this message and God has spoken to my heart about something. Who would say that? Would you lift your hand as a Christian, a child of God, and praise God and amen? Many hands. Most of you. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren, for God's people to dwell together in unity. It's like the oil of the Holy Spirit. Pastor, I'm here tonight. I'm not sure that I am saved, but I'd like to be sure and I want to be sure. Is there somebody here tonight that's just not sure about that? Could we pray for you? I won't embarrass you or come to you. Pastor Blake, I am not sure about my own salvation. Who would say that? Would you lift your hand really high? Hold it up until we see it. All right, God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray in a moment and have a time of invitation. Brother Andy's here at the front. If you need to speak with someone, the altar's here. Do business with the Lord. And you know what? As a Christian, as a child of God, be in the business. Be in the business of saying amen in your heart, amen in your spirit, sometimes amen with your lips, and hallelujah, praising God. This universal word that we're going to say in eternity, that starts from the first books of the Bible and all the way to the end, this universe, say it, affirm it, embrace it. Father, bless now the invitation. Thank you. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you that all of us know that when we worship together, we worship one God. One Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you that we believe and we know that we have one book. One true, inspired, preserved book from you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we serve one God. And more, one Lord and Savior, Jesus. And knowing these things, Lord, knowing these three glorious things that we all say amen and hallelujah to, help us, Lord, to go forward until Jesus comes back. Until you call us home. Protect this church to that end, please, in Jesus' precious name.